some ground to cover. Amen. We're talking about this chatterbox, you know, throughout the Sunday morning Sunday school class for the adults. And you got to know it's gonna come over to this side, too, a little bit. And it's bound to, and it really needs to. As we look at today, and we got some slides for you to kind of follow along with me. But our identity is not ourselves, but God working in us. We've got to realize that we have been bought with a price. Amen. We are not our own, really, you know. We are owned, and of course, God created us. And we've got to understand that who we are is not, Tim is not who Tim is. Tim is who God is inside Tim, as Tim allows God more of Tim. You put your name in that same place. However much room you give God in your place, the temple of God, resides. We are the church, you guys sitting out there. So whatever we allow him in, how much we allow him, he will be glad to come in. Do you believe that? He will. You've got to invite him in and say, I'm yours. And of course he goes, I know you're mine. And then we begin to grow. But as we look at this and we see this, you may not love yourself, but you are loved. We deal with that all the time. People in the church even. It's a shame. People in the church should feel loved all the time. And sometimes you talk to them and wow, how sad it is. Think of us in the church sometimes feel like we're the furthest away from love. But you are loved. You feel like you're losing ground in a particular area. But then you've got to realize what? That you're more than a conqueror. These are things that we need to identify with to realize that our identity is not ourselves, but is God working in us to make us what I ought to be. What's that song? How's that song go? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And then it goes on and on. But he is working on us. And then you're lacking confidence in yourself, but you are strong. Flip to the next slide. You may feel that you're broken in a particular area of your life. How many here feel broken at times? But really, you're healed and you're whole. We're going to look at that a little bit in 2 Peter about the healing and the physical healing and some other healings that we need to address and be aware of what that whole healing is meaning. You may feel like your sin continues to overpower you. And maybe by the time you get rid of that sin and something else comes up or something else develops within you and you just know it's not the right thing or whatever the case might be. So you feel like, you know, sin continues to overpower you, but you've got to realize that you've been forgiven and what? Set free. It's one of the biggest things to realize is to know that we have been set free. You have been set free. If you have not realized that you've been set free, you will always feel under that condemnation of I'm being, you know, the thumbs on me. Isn't it interesting? I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but isn't it like when they train elephants, how they, you know, they start out as a little time and they just tie them to a little bit of chain and a little shackle on their one leg and they give them like 4 foot or 5 foot run and that's about it. And then as the elephant gets bigger and bigger, eventually what they can do is take that thing off or not even take it off, but they can leave that same size chain on them. But the elephant is 10 times bigger that he could really pull that stake out and break the chain maybe. But because he knows when he gets to that end of that leash, he's got to stop. He's just been trained that way, conditioned that way. And we've got to understand some of these things that some of the things in the world that we've come out of, we've got to be careful that how we've been conditioned in the world before we came into the kingdom doesn't hold us back from going further into the kingdom. You got to realize that where you were able to go when you were in the world was not as far as once you get into the stepping into the kingdom of what God has done for you, what God has given you, what God has promised you, is that you are no longer shackled. Because Jesus came and he broke the bondage. He broke the chains of the enemy. Amen. Woo! Here we go now. Slow down, Tim. I don't want to start talking to this plant like I did last week, okay? Because that was getting kind of dangerous. But anyway, the next slide is going to help us. Look at this. You may not love yourself, but you are loved. You need to realize Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father what? Loved me, I also have loved who? You. Me. Who? Me. You. Abide in my love. Jesus is sharing that as the Father loved me, the Father that said when Jesus came up out of being baptized, this is my Son who I am well pleased already before he did anything, we find out that he also says that I also have loved you and abide in my love. So we've got to know that we are loved by someone whose love never fails. And we are following his example of love to where we should love like him. Amen? And that's the whole crux, really, of a Christian life, is our love for one another. They will know we are Christians by our love. I'm feasting at the banqueting table. His banner over me is love. So that's the whole thing. And that's what the enemy, the devil, does not like. The devil doesn't like love. He likes hate. He likes dislike. He likes discouragement. He likes all these negative things. Because I don't see love being negative, do you? Love to me is positive. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Tim, I love what you did to this. Tim, I love how you did that. Tim, I love, you know, it makes me feel like, hey, that's good. So we know that Jesus is saying that he's loved me and he wants me to abide in his love. And that's the thing. That's the kicker. We've got to abide in his love. I can't love sometimes people like I should because of the wrongs that they did to me or whatever the case might be. You know, we always harbor those things. Well, if you can't love them in your love, if nothing else, abide in Jesus' love and love them by that of through Jesus and say, love, Lord, I'm having a hard time dealing with this, but I know that I'm supposed to love them. Would you give me that strength? Would you help me in that area? I want to abide in your love, Lord, because I want to please you. So you may feel like you're losing ground, right? But now what? You're more than a conqueror. We find in Romans 8:35-37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations? Anybody got tribulation going on today? If not, you might have tomorrow, so just be ready. Our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, persecution, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. So we've got to realize that you may feel like you're losing ground in a particular area of your life, but you've got to realize that you need to become a conqueror in that area because you are what? Already a conqueror. You're just acting out and putting to work what you already are, amen? It's like a car in the garage. The car is not going to do anything until you get in it and drive it out of the garage and take it down the road. You can talk all about how nice it is and what it is and what it's like and, oh boy, all these good things, but it's just an inanimate object sitting in a garage until you get in it and you use it for what it was designed to be used for. So as we walk in this life and share what we're to do while we're here in this place that God has blessed us with. Amen. We're blessed people. Are you blessed? As we walk, even though you go through trials and tribulations and things, remember, we learned it today. It's the confidence that we have, knowing of who we are, and it's who is in us, not who I am, that makes me able to transverse and get through these trials and things in this life, that you know what? I'm not the only one going through problems, I bet. I bet there's one or two of you here that are going through some situations, even today, I bet. But that's okay. Because I'm not going to be moved by the situation I'm in today. My eyes and my focus is continually on God and what he has already told me he has done for me. And all I've got to do is just thank him for it and continue to stay with him and say, you know, just like Jehoshaphat, hey, you know, if the Lord tells you things and he's going to take care of things and he's going to bless these things, he's going to tell you to do these things, even though you see the adversity around you, my goodness, being surrounded. And then he told the Jehoshaphat, you're not even going to fight him. You know, I mean, that's quite a story there. I enjoyed listening to it. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who's loved us. And Linda brought up a very good point this morning in the Sunday school hour. I think this is the verse, and this is the area we were at. And she said, you notice in there it doesn't say anything about your past. Because if God is not interested in our past, why should we be interested in our past? We ought to just be going full board this way, forward, and taking the ground for the kingdom, amen, and taking the ground in your life to where you have a good life, that you fulfill things, that you are blessed, that you're able to be a blessing to others around you. You know, we are blessed not to just be puffed up within ourselves and just think that we've got it made and I'm on my way to heaven. We are to be blessed and we're to show that love and that ability to those around us that are where we used to be. Because as your example to them now would be that possibility of getting them to hook up to God now to be ready for the things that are going to be continuing in their life. And we just know that we're to be that example. We are blessed and highly favored, you know. But you know what? They are too out there in the world if they would just realize it and just accept God as who God is and what Jesus has done for them. So what's the next area there, Chris? We got, you're lacking the confidence in yourself, but you are strong. Be strong in Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of what? Good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, we find a lot of that of what God did in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. And as they went through different skirmishes and different things that they had to go through in the episodes and all this and what they went, you know, crossing the desert and all this land and being moved from one area to the other. But we find out that God showed so much of Himself to those that were His people, His chosen people. Well, hallelujah. Do you think you're a chosen people that God is interested in you today? We are engrafted. We have been adopted by the blood, amen. You may not be Jew, but Jew or Gentile, as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have an inheritance that's there for us. And we know that God is there. And so His word in Deuteronomy is saying, be strong, be of a good courage. I think the next lesson in that chatterbox, did I say next week? It was fear, I think, wasn't it? Fear. So we're going to talk on fear next week in that chatterbox DVD. But do not fear, nor be afraid of them. I guess the question we've got to look and you've got to be reflecting on is, He goes with you. Do you really sense God going with you in your daily walk, in your daily activities? Because that's where it's all at. Is are you taking God with you, or when you leave here today, do you leave God in this place? When you leave your home after you read the Word of God for your devotional, and it's all wonderful and good, and you go out to your job or you go out doing whatever, are you leaving God there and going out on your own and say, I'll be back and catch up with you later, God? You know, if you're doing that, you're going to be having some problems. You are going to be fearful. You are going to be feeling like, you know, I'm all alone and God is not here. So we look at that in Deuteronomy. Then we look at, you may feel that you're broken in a particular area of your life, but you got to feel that you, or you got to know, but well, let's just read what it says. But really, you're healed and whole. Amen. First Peter talks about He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. Wow. We've heard that before, haven't we? We act upon it. By whose stripes we are healed. What He has done for us. So as I look at this, when you see that, where it says, by whose stripes you were healed, what do you think of in that realm of healing? What is being healed? There's just more than just the body, amen. And that's the thing that we've got to be understanding too, is that it talks about when we find Paul or Peter sharing this, the intent in quoting, this is out of Isaiah chapter 53, when he's talking about by whose stripes that you are healed, that it's to show personal wholeness. And that includes the mental healing, that talks about psychological healing, that talks about physical healing, that talks about the spiritual as well. It all flows from the conversion as we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that he has done these things for us, and this was done as far as upon the cross by his stripes, by his wounds. Stripes and wounds is another sample of stripes. But by his wounds we are healed. And we've got to understand that, people. I know a lot of us grab a hold of the physical healing, you know, that I'm sick and I've sprained my leg or whatever the case might be. And so we look at it a lot of times for the physical healing, but a lot of times we've got to realize, and sometimes maybe more than the physical, we've got to realize mentally and psychologically we're healed just as well. And we find out that a lot of times that's where the enemy deals with us a lot of times is in the physical, but I think more so in the mental realm, in the psychological realm, because that, my ladies and gentlemen, that's where the chatterbox is at. That's where that chattering is continuing in your body or in your head. Maybe it's somewhat right when we hear that, where we say, man, I got voices in my head. We do. I shared just quickly in the Sunday school, and I haven't been able to further look through this, but even this morning, getting ready to come to church, I was listening on Good Morning, CBS Good Morning, or whatever. I tape it every morning. It's just a great news show that just covers all kinds of things on Sunday morning, but I can't be there because I'm here. But we watch it, and then I speed watch it later on, forward through all the commercials. But anyway, getting back to this morning, I caught just a glimpse. I thought, woo, that's exciting. They had a study on there talking about where the mind, when the mind hears something negative, if I were to go up to you and share something negative about you or say something negatively to you, your mind all of a sudden takes that negativity somewhere within its impulses, and it almost holds on to that to where it almost shuts down the rest of the mind. I thought, wow, that's a strong chatter. Because that mind begins to, and so I've got to look into that more and more, but I just throw that out, that we find and we are finding, and isn't that great? And we don't find it surprising because God's Word already says that we got to renew our mind. God's Word says, what you think and what you think about is what you're going to do. And so we realize that we've got to focus on something much different than what we did before we came to him. We focused before we came on him. We focused on everything in the world. Whatever that was going on in the world would take our interest. We'd focus on that. And generally, what a lot was in the world was not good stuff. But we come into the kingdom of God and we find out God has got a lot of good stuff, but we got a lot of dumb stuff that we've remembered for all these times and focused on prior to coming to the kingdom of God. So we've got to push these things out. The negativity and those things that are in there. And after hearing this morning of how medical scientists and people or whatever are studying the brain, they're still learning all kinds of things about the brain. You know what? They're learning still a lot more about the body. You would have thought as far as where medical science has gone to up to this point that they would have it all pretty well figured out. But they don't. They're finding new things daily within this body of what God has created. He's our physician. He's our healer. He's our creator. How God has put this body together in such a way and how it takes care of itself. And if we could just focus on good things and eat good things and do the right things and exercise and do all the stuff, you know what? We would probably live a lot longer. But it's all the bad stuff we've gotten into and putting stuff into this. But we found out that even in God's resources, he has done things within this body that will re-heal itself or mend itself if it's just given time. It's amazing. But medical science is still finding just phenomenal things that you watch some shows sometimes, what they find out about the heart, about the brain, about this, about that, We always figure out why they have different parts and different organs in here that they say, oh, we can cut that out. You don't need it. Well, it's there for a reason. I don't understand. I'm not getting anybody scared if you've had anything cut out of you or whatever, but it's just like God just didn't haphazardly put in a gallbladder. And I was like, well, there's a space there that's about that size. Hey, we'll put that in there, and now I give them some gall. That's where we come up with, boy, you've got the gall to talk to me, sister. So some of you have had that out. Praise God, you don't have the gall no more. You're happy-go-lucky. No gall. But we find out that even when they take some things out, that the body still functions. It's all there for a reason and a purpose, but, you know, there's other things that take it. When they told me that my dad, his carotid arteries going up in his brain and his head were totally, like, 99% clogged, and they couldn't even rotor-rooter it because they said it was so severe and they'd be more dangerous of causing a stroke. I heard arteries pretty well blocked and clogged, and then I look over at my dad and I go, oh, my gosh, he's sitting up and he's still alive. So I asked the doctor, I said, well, how could that be? I said, he's still functioning, you know? Because you always hear that, carotid arteries, clogged, blah, blah. And the doctor said, the doctors are, they're kind of neat to talk to sometimes when they say, the body is a miraculous piece of equipment. The body is wonderfully made. Because he said, well, what happens over time is you got blood vessels in the back of your head that begin to, as your arteries here start clogging little by little by little, the vessels in the back of the head begin to take over that blood flow. So the blood flow is going from here to here, and it still keeps moving the stuff up to the brain. Well, praise God. I'm thankful to God that there's more than one way to get blood to my brain. Because I got to watch it. But how God has designed us and what he has done for us. But we've got to realize that this healing that Jesus accomplished for us is more than just because if you hurt yourself or you twist your ankle or you got a bad this or that, that yes, physically and all that, I'm going to be healed. And I got a flu, I'm going to be healed. But if I'm having situations psychologically or mentally or spiritually, that he has healed that area as well. That's exciting, guys, because we're dealing with more stuff than just the physical. So we hopefully can bring us our attention to this. What's the next area there? We got in that. So then you feel like your sin continues to overpower you. Don't we always feel that at times, or a lot of times, we just feel like we're just stuck in that same, it's like, excuse me. I need, Lord, why didn't I have just one more arm? We feel like, what's that game that we all used to play because it was pretty easy? Chutes and Ladders. Or I think that game, sorry, you know. But Chutes and Ladders, you know, that's a game where you're trying to get up to this place, and if you land in good places, that's good. But there's always a place there. If you land, there's a ladder, there's a slide that goes, back to the beginning or back down to the first level, and it's like I've almost attained it, and all of a sudden I land on that one spot that's got the slide, and guess where I'm going? That is how the devil is playing with you, with your sins and things, because even though your sins have been forgiven and washed away and cleansed and wiped away and deep as the deepest sea and as far as the east is from the west, that's what God says, not me. But the devil continually wants to put you on that slide and to put you right back down to where that sin began or where it was thought in your mind and you continually thought on it. Because the devil just wants to keep you there. As far as the devil's concerned, he would really, you don't need to sin anymore because he will keep you more involved in thinking about your past sins than even anything that you might even do today. The devil says, you don't need to, you don't, Tim, don't even worry about, you know, if you sin today, because I'm just going to keep reminding you of what happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever the case might be. And a lot of times you'll find that as you're just about getting there and you're really feeling good with God, and God is, you feel like things are breaking out, and oh, Lord, I'm getting much more closer to you, and I feel your love, and all of a sudden something dumb will happen. That chatter in your head will hit something, like it'll bring up something like, how could somebody love you because of what had happened and what you did there? And I hit on that slide, and I'm going, if I don't watch myself, going all the way back down to where I had come from years ago, maybe. It's like, man, God, Maybe the enemy is right. Maybe you can't love me. Maybe I am too bad. Maybe I'm not going to get better. Maybe this is a lifelong thing that I'm just, it's just not going to get taken care of. But that's that chatter in my head that just wants to continually do that and keep us down. But we've got to realize that we have been forgiven. We have been set free. These are things that you've got to affirm within yourself. Remember what we said, it's not the identity that's ourselves, but it's the identity of who's working in us. And as long as we can, I believe, if we can focus our thoughts on who is working in us, that of God, by that of the Holy Spirit. Remember, I talked about in the lesson this morning about the way that we hear and get things from God, and that communication is through that of the Holy Spirit dropping these things into our spirit, and we're able to share things back and we get enlightened, and all this is through that of the Holy Spirit. That is, if I can stay hooked up to Him and know that I am free and that God loves me, that my past is not setting where my future is going to be, because my future has been set by God. And we shared last week about that scripture where it talked about, you know, He's got that plan for you to walk into. So we've got to say, Lord, You've got it all figured out for me already. All I've got to do is just dump this stuff from this life, dump the stuff from this world, dump the stuff from the God of this world that wants to continually just beat me down. And I've just got to turn from that, turn to You, and realizing that, wow, that I've been forgiven. Amen. That I've been forgiven. If we confess our sins, that's a part. You got to confess your sins. Be faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to the next slide. I think we're ready to go there. When the neurotic nag of insecurity gives way to a passionate discovery of the promises of God, the peace that follows is supernatural. The chatterbox cannot control the thoughts and the trajectory of the child of God who faces each day with the attitude of this: I have nothing to prove because I'm already approved. You walk up, you wake up in the morning and you already know that you're the apple of your Father in heaven's eye. You don't have to worry about trying to do good to get any better with Him. You just do good because you love Him. And you're just saying, Lord, I love You. I thank You. And I don't care what happens today, I am already approved by You. My goodness. So, we've got to look at that. That insecurity and things that hits us, we've got to look at discovering the promises that God has given us, and that we've got to be able to control our thoughts. And this all comes out of the scripture of taking those vain imaginations captive, casting them down, tearing down those strongholds. So when that thought comes to you that's not of God, that's not building you up, then you better cast it down. If it's not building you up, then you better take it hostage or prisoner or hostage or whatever. You need to take it and take control of it. So I have nothing to prove because I am already approved. And there's another slide there, and I think we close out on. So before you ever win or lose, God has turned His face toward you. He has chosen you and He is pleased. Before you win or lose. Now, the thing is, we've got to realize with God on your side, you're going to win. But there is no losing with God. Did Jehoshaphat lose? You know, did David lose? No. You know, we could go through the Old Testament and things. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they lose? No. Daniel? No. So, with God, there is no losing. The only thing with God that you need to lose is the things of your past, and just forget them and cut them loose. Let them drift in that sea of whatever. And to be able to respond to where you can walk with your head held high, confident in knowing that who you are in Christ, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And it's not by my righteousness, it's not by my holiness, it's by his working in me that makes me that way. So it's not boastful and prideful to say these things, but I'm working these things through, and God is working himself through me as I let him. Wow. So I hope that as we go through a few more of these weeks of this chatterbox and looking at insecurity, looking at fear, looking at some other areas that we deal with, these are all areas that I find that seems to be a lot of the areas that attack the people of the church even. You know, this is a study that's really not for the lost out there. This is a study that is really for the church. It's for the Christian, the one of faith, the one of Christ-likeness, because these are the ones if we can tap in and get ourselves in control and understand these things, you will be just a mighty force to reckon with. And what little you do will be mighty for tearing down strongholds. But I just get so frustrated within myself to see good people frustrated over their walk with God when God has already done everything for you. You've just got to receive it, accept it, turn your life over to him, and become obedient and obey him, and allow him to work in your situation. But become confident of knowing who you are in God. Wow. And that's what we see a lot of those people in the Old Testament. That's why they were able to do so much thing and so powerful and accomplish so much, is they had a confidence, and when God spoke to them, they had a confidence that God would take care of what he said. It wasn't, well, I heard it, I believe it, but then again, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not this time. No. Every time the Lord spoke and shared into people's situations and what they were going against, they had trust and faith and belief in God because they knew the power of Jehovah. And so we've got to understand that same thing for today, because he's the God of yesterday and today, and he's the God of tomorrow. He says he changes not. I love that, because I read some wonderful things in this book. And I say, Lord, woo, you can do that today. And he goes, I can, because I change not. And I find comfort and strength and assurance in that, don't you? And if not, I hope you do. I hope you begin to learn that. I hope you begin to develop that and become so much stronger and come to the level of what God is already seeing you at. God is already seeing you at this level, folks. You might think you're here and you're just barely able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but God is already seeing you here. And he is saying, I am well pleased with you. The plan that I have for you, you can work it out. Amen. Well, that's it. I'm going to stop talking. Let you guys work this week out a little bit, you know, on this thing in your mind and chattering and all. And be ready for next week. Want to wait on you for your giving and your blessings there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It was interesting. I came in this morning and I go to my desk and I see a yellow piece of paper. I thought, yellow. You know, pink used to be like a pink slip, like you're out of here. Not that they haven't been getting kicked out. No, yellow to me is LP gas. Yellow? I didn't order any gas. What are they? Woo! I've been kind of telling them what we can afford. I hope they didn't, you know, tap it off to the top. You know, it's 1,000 plus another, what is it, a total of 1,500 gallons out there. My goodness. But anyway, I don't know what the outcome will be, but they put in 500 gallons and there was no amount on the sheet. So now, praise God for that, or praise God the guy forgot to put it down. I don't know what. But I'm sure that it's accounted back at the home office where he goes to. So I got to I got to call him. There's a message out here from Black Hawk Propane. But, yeah, we'll see. But God works in wonderful ways, you know, and he knows what's needed. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I just want you to enjoy him. Just take time with him and slow down. See his hand working in your life, in your job, in your finances, in your home, even in working in your bills. Let him get in there and figure it out. Here it is, Lord.
You do it.
You know? God is so good. God is so good. I don't know how he does things. But, you know, it's not for me to try to figure that out. Because if I try to figure that out, it would keep me from saying, Lord, I love you and thank you and praise you. Because we try to figure this thing out. Like, how is this going to work, you know? How did this blessing come about? How could this be? How could that be? You know, we finally got released from the health department for our water. Praise God for that, you know. We've been dealing with this since October, you know, and we got all that situated, taken care of. So we're totally free, and we have been free of any bacteria for boil order. We've been off of that for over a month and a half or so, but they still had to do their processes for five more things, and those came out all good. So God is good in that area. And then with the things of the fuel and the prices of that, you know, it's gone up tremendously. And I did hear, I think, on the news where they said